Welcome to the Dealmakers Coffee Break, where we talk to industry pros about their success stories, deals, and market insights in just enough time for you to enjoy a cup of coffee. So grab your mug and join us for a chat with the people behind the deals. I'm Asaf Raz. Let's go. Welcome to another episode of the Dealmakers Coffee Break Edition. And this time I have with me a special guest. He's not directly from the real estate investment space, but he has a lot to say about that space and about how people should manage their investments and their financials in general. His name is Lee Tanyav. He's the CEO and co-founder of Vizor, who helps investors make better decisions and full financial visibility with wealth at their fingerprints. So Lee Tan, without further ado, please take it away. Tell our audience about you, about yourself, about your company, and we'll take it from there.
Sounds good. What's up? Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to meet you and talk with everyone behind Agora. I love what you guys are doing. So my story is I'm a tech founder, sold a startup 8 years ago, became a passive investor. So basically the LP that invests in Agora's customers, the GP that raise money for real estate syndications and stuff like that. And over the years, me and Tom, my co-founder, did a bunch of deals with a lot of different operators in the US and Europe. And over the years, it became a mess. Distributions, capital calls, documents, K-1s, just a whole mess. At some point, 3 years ago, decided to build ourselves a piece of software to automate the whole process. A bunch of friends wanted it as well, and we decided to build that into a new startup. So we continue to invest on our own as LPs, and we use Vizor to manage all of our money, all of our wealth, and automate as much as possible so that we can keep our passive investments as passive as possible.
Mm-hmm. Can you take me deeper a little bit into that a little bit? Because this is a new concept to the podcast, right? Usually we talk to entrepreneurs. Usually we talk to the GPs directly. So it's really interesting to see the point of view of the LP and also what you've done to kind of solve your own challenges in this space.
Yeah, for sure. So as most GPs and LPs know, the plain vanilla of these deals is you put like 100K, 150K, 50K into a deal that has some sort of, usually let's say a multifamily value add type deal, has some sort of cash flow. And it's up sort of preferred return distributions every month or every quarter. After 5-7 years, there's an exit event, and you get what you expected. And during the whole process, you get documents and emails coming in. So at some point, I get an email from a GP, and I'm like, oh damn, who's this guy? How much do I invest with him? And then money in my bank account. I'm like, oh shit, what's this? Is this related to that one or this one? And these are good problems to have, right? But I mean, it just becomes a mess. And, in each of these GPs, as you know, has a different investor portal. Hopefully a lot of them are on Agora, but unfortunately not everyone's on Agora. They have other platforms and, just logging into each of them. From an LP's perspective, it's just a mess, and most of what our objective was to, passively invest and generate passive income. And when you do like 30, 40 of these deals, it ain't passive anymore. It becomes a whole job on it. And that's what we said. So yeah, that's sort of my experience from the LP side.
So how does that work with Vizor specifically? Let's give you the shameless plug before we even start. How does that work? How do you do that with Vizor?
So we become, in a sense, the LP's virtual family office. So we receive access to the investor portals. We receive access to all their bank accounts, all their investment accounts. We receive all the documents, all the emails. We get access to their investor portals. To pull in all the data, and so we analyze it, and we upload their information to their account. We update stuff in their account, and we just keep everything up to date. And we let them know, from a performance standpoint, if distribution was supposed to come in but it didn't arrive from this and this operator, if there's a liquidation event coming up, if there's any type of capital call, any type of like expected event, and then we compare performance versus actual versus planned. And so we'll do all that aggregation of data, and then we'll also help them project cash flow. Most of our customers are the LPs that they want to reach, that financial independence where they don't have to work. They don't have to have a W-2 income anymore. They can just depend fully on income from their passive investments. And so when you have multiple channels or sources of income, and you have outflow of cash to expenses, cost of living, it's hard to even, understand what your future is going to look like. And so what we do is we present where their cash looks today and how their cash will look in the future based on the expectations for different investments and stuff like that. So there's a lot more than that, but that's the gist of it.
So as far as I understand, this is for more active passive investors, right? The ones that are giving up their W-2 jobs. They're giving up any other income. They focus only on the income that comes from the cash flow and their investments, right? Or, you know, whatever exit yields they're making. And what you do is you kind of interconnect everything for them to become like a hub where they can work from, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, so it totally makes sense. But activeness in my mind is someone who wants to go and buy property, flip it, yes, and sell it. That's active, and that's not what these people do.
Yeah. It's funny because I've been talking to GPs and LPs, and you know, some of the LPs have this state of mind like yours when they say, look, this is my investment, this is my money, I want to have access to it. This is essentially why we've built Agora as well, to give the GPs the opportunity to show their LPs with full transparency what's happening. But not many of them are really 100% interested, right? They're not, they're like, hey, I put some of my money in and let's let it work, and I'll hear from my GP whenever it's ready and I trust him and whatever. But they're not like actively managing it. And some of the LPs are more connected to the deals. They want to know more of what's happening. They need more communications. And with you being in this LP position, do you feel like any of that needs has changed over time? So like, I know in the past 14 years, it was a full bull run, right? The market was making serious cash flow and LPs were happy. GPs were happy. Interest rates were artificially low. So it was very easy, quote unquote, to make money out of this market. Do you feel like anything changed throughout, I don't know, the last maybe year in terms of what investors want? Did you feel like there was a change in investor wanting to use something like Visor?
So I think, you know, when you have a mess like what's happening in the year behind us and probably the year ahead, mm-hmm, and like you said, it used to be really easy to make money and now it's not. Now a lot of the semi not experienced operators, mm-hmm, are going to, you know, get a lot of heat from LPs. And so as an LP, you want to make sure first that you understand what the situation is, what's happening. There's a lot of noise around GPs that are, you know, going under, or frauds that have been, you know, spoken of. And so you want to be in the details of understanding just like where your money is. And when in the SEC, when you hear from a friend that, oh, this GP just went under and he's getting, you know, filed by the SEC because of some fraud, you want to understand, wait, did I invest with that person?
Yeah.
That's the mess, right? And so I think, definitely the world has changed and will change even more as we move forward. And so, yeah, I hope that answers your question.
It does. So let's look at the market for a second and go into the current state of the market. And this is interesting. This is going to be from the LP side. What are the things that you're thinking about the most nowadays or are concerning you the most when you look at the current market? We talked about it, interest rate, insurance rates, operators going under. Like, what are the things that you focus on today? What are you looking for as an LP?
So first and foremost, it's the people you invest with as the GP. Like, I want to know who I'm investing with, look at their background, understand how much track, like, what's their track record, how many years have they been doing this? When they look at the deal, what are the important aspects they look at? I don't go down to the level of granularity, like what are the rents they expect to increase or not? I look more at the, you know, as we said, the play numbers of what type of LTV are they taking? What type of loan to asset value are they looking at? Are they looking at, like, do they expect any refinance events in the near future? And if so, how? Because they expect the interest rates to go down. There are more and more GPs that we see are moving to the fund model and now to the single deal model. And really, it's important to understand why they're doing that. Some GPs do that because they want cash flow. Because if you have a fund, that means you can take a management fee that's more like upfront and take cash from that fund. On the flip side, if you have a fund, then you can be quicker on closing deals when they come up, and there are going to be a lot of distressed deals in the market for them to seize, and you want to invest with the operators that have the access to those distressed deals and they can make fast decisions. Mm-hmm. It's going to be really tricky times, and it's going to be really difficult to find really good operators, especially in like this zero risk interest rate where you can put money in the bank and make 5-6%.
Yeah.
Zero risk.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the 6-7% cash flowing deals don't really make that much sense anymore as an LP.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a conversation with a guy in a recent episode of the podcast. His name is Rich Buchner. He's from a company called Alpha Investments. And he talked about how, you know, when you invest in Apple, right, you believe in the company, right? You believe in the tech, whatever that is. And when it goes down, what do? Right? Do you sell? And usually he talks about if you believe in Apple in general, this is the time to actually buy more. So when he looks into like real estate investing and real estate deals, he talked about how if you believe in the deal, if you believe in the area and the location and the asset class and the type of leverage that you took in your LPs, right? It's like I'm going to actually double down on the deals that I believe in. So it's funny to understand it from the LP perspective. Is it, would you reinvest in a deal like for an unexpected capital call, for example?
Usually it's underperforming. It's not the value went down. It's underperforming. It's not renting as it should. The bank wants, I don't know, is recalling its loans because the period of the loan is over and they need to pay money back. So it all depends. Now, if the GP is like, listen, we have to call in, I don't know, $500,000 or $1 million. Mm-hmm. We're going to put in $800,000. And we're giving the opportunity for some LPs to also get in and increase their equity position in the deal. That's different than say, hey, listen, we need $1 million, raising capital from the LPs. We need the money by next month or else we're going flop. I mean, it's such like not a simple answer.
I know. It's also, I think about it all the time. The questions I've been asking other operators is, what do you do if you need to call? Like, how do you explain to your investors you need to call more capital into the deal? Because what? You took too much leverage, right? The interest rate is just too high. Like, you don't have the capital to put in yourself. Like, how do you explain that to an LP?
I think, you know, so I'm in a lot of these, you know, LP mastermind groups where mm-hmm. like all these past investing groups where there's a bunch of LPs talking about deals and GPs and the shit that's happening in the markets. And I think most LPs understand many deals will not succeed as expected. But what's important is the communication that the operator keeps high standards too, right? So if the operator, the GP, is constantly communicating the situation, like keeping the LPs up to date. Now, it's our fault as LPs most of the times, like most people around me will not even open an email they get. And per your point, won't even log into the investor portal to check up like what's happening, right? But those who do are really satisfied with the level of communication the GP provides, even if the deal goes down. So the communication is super important across the board. And obviously, if they have a good platform for that, it helps.
Yeah, definitely does. AKA Visor and Agora.
No, because I think, you know, when we look at the market, right? So like you guys are really focused, Agora and is really focused on the GP and how the GP can communicate well to the LP and how the GP can distribute on time and create the K-1s and all that stuff on time for the LP. And the LP is a byproduct of that, right? And if the LPs are happy, the GPs are happy, they're happy with Agora, right? So for us, it's the other way around, right? Like to go to the extreme, all I care about is the LP. Like the LP is who I serve. The LP is who will at the end of the day say if I'm giving them a good service or not, and if they'll pay me or not, and they'll recommend their friends about Visor or not. The GP is the byproduct. And I even see a byproduct of the fact like LPs want to be able to share information between other LPs about specific GPs and operators and like share their experience with this and that operator, like deals and that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And so it's like really two sides of the industry. It's really interesting.
It's also interesting because it's that you don't have, when you look at the at your platform and you look at LPs, you really don't put the GP in the front. You're saying like an LP that invests capital in a deal or in several deals, several whatever investment vehicles he puts his money in, needs to have control over that, right? And he's like the number one. He's the most important one. He doesn't need to be happy. He needs to be in control, right? That's kind of the message, which is extremely interesting, the way of thinking. And, you know, it's like putting the GP on the side, right? And giving the LP the control. Do you feel like LPs that are using Visor today are more LPs that are trying to kind of, or whether they were confused or their investment information was kind of scattered around? Like, which LPs do you feel like come to Visor today to say, hey, I need help?
Yeah. So it's people that have a mess. And typically people that have done 10, 15 different deals with, you know, different operators, different platforms, and also have a public account with different types of investment products. And, you know, they've built crazy spreadsheets and it's just like a whole new job on its own just to stay on top of stuff. You know, when tax season comes around, it's a whole nightmare. So those are the typical LPs.
How do they use it? So let's do this. For example, I'm an LP. I invested in five different deals. For two of them, I have a portal. For two of them, I get spreadsheets and emails. And one of them, I get no communications almost. How would I connect everything to Visor? How would that look like?
So first off, because we link into their bank accounts, we'll automatically mm-hmm. detect transactions in their bank accounts mm-hmm. and link transactions to the assets, right? So if we identify a distribution, we'll be able to, like, our algorithm knows how to identify that specific distribution and link it to an asset. We'll then be CC'd to emails that we receive. Our customers receive emails, updates from different GPs, and we'll be CC'd to those emails. We'll all get access to the investor portal vis-a-vis becoming an interested party, right? So we'll become an interested party, and then we'll reach out to the GP and they'll give us read-only access to their account. And then we'll pull out all the data, all the documents for them. Just like a family office would do, right? Mm-hmm. And a bunch more automations and tools around that to automate as much as possible.
It's funny. So it's like you're treating every LP as a potential family office. Like the more deals you have to invest in, the more you need Visor. That makes sense, right? That's pretty cool. I like that. I'm also looking at your story and your website, which I love as well. By the way, if anyone's listening to it, Visor, visors.co, visor.co. They have a great website and they explain it in details. Awesome. Okay. Last question about the market, just because you're still an LP, and then we'll go into a shameless plug. So in terms of looking at different asset types, and I know that you talked about specifically like the most common investment vehicle today in real estate investments, talking about cash flowing multifamily, right? But if you as an LP look at deals, do you have like specific assets that you focus on, specific assets that you like to invest in more than others? What are you looking for in terms of asset classes, specifically investing in real estate?
So I think that, and this is going to be I don't know if you'd like this answer, but for me, it's not really about the asset class. It's about the operator. So I just want to invest with good people that I can trust at the end of the day will not screw me over and they know what they're doing. And if they're doing multifamily ground up development, multifamily value add, or single family or townhouses or storage units, or it doesn't really matter to me. To the extent that if it's cash flowing, numbers need to match a cash flowing asset. If it's a development, numbers need to match development. Mm-hmm. So if something comes around by a good operator and I have the cash to put into it and it matches those numbers, then I'm good to go. If for sure, I probably want to invest in office. At this point, probably in a few months when, things cool down, there will be a lot of opportunities, office space. But, really predominant is just the operator.
Cool. And so we know also the tips of what to look in an operator before you invest with them. And we talked about it at the beginning of the episode. So if anybody wants to pull back and listen to that, that's great. We're almost at a 20-minute mark. So we're going to go directly into a shameless plug. And the shameless plug is the time for you to shamelessly plug in exactly what you're looking for today. If you're looking for investment opportunities, if you're looking for more LPs to become your customers, family offices, you want to promote Visor, whatever you want to do, feel free to do it. Costs no money and no one will judge you for it. So go ahead.
I love this. I mean, I really appreciate what you guys are doing, Agora. I think if we can finally find some way to do something together more deeply, that'd be amazing. I think that sort of like I mentioned before, you guys pull in from the GP side, we pull in from the LP side, and there has to be a way to meet.
I agree.
We're really focused on bringing value to as many more LPs as possible. The more LPs that use Visor, it's not just the value they receive, but the industry, because another function that we have and we haven't discussed is that we show our customers where other people are investing anonymously. Okay. In each asset classes, which operators are invested in, which GPs, how much money has been invested into each of them, how many deals have been made. And then down the road, allowing people to communicate between each other based on deals. And that the idea there is one, to help LPs, but two, also to help up and coming GPs that no one's heard about, to give them the credibility that they can go and, if they have people using Visor, more LPs using Visor, the other LPs will hear about them and be able to communicate between each other and create more transparency in the market.
It's like a marketplace kind of thing.
Right. But we don't push deals. Mm-hmm. All we do is we show data. Anonymously, based on actual transactions, on actual documents, because our customers, the LP, we don't have any conflict of interest.
That's pretty cool. Awesome. Perfect. Litan, thank you so much for joining me on another episode of the Dealmakers Coffee Break.
Thank you for joining us. Check out more episodes on the Dealmakers podcast, available on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcasts, and Agora's website at agorareal.com/podcast. See you in the next episode.